pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
I got a problem with the TikTok algorithm right now. It's showing me property, wonderful property, sizable property. You know, like these like 60 acres here, 40 acres there, streamside access, you know, power, septic. It's even got high-speed internet, yada, 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 yada. You know, 70,000, 100,000, 40,000, all of these realistic dollar points I might be able to hit for a loan, you know.
Where are they at?
Kentucky, fucking Alabama, Arkansas.
That's what I expected. Yeah.
I mean, it's awful. Every once in a while, one will pop up in fucking Michigan, and it's like, ooh, I could live in Michigan. And then you look at it, and it's clear up at the top where it's got snow 14 months of the year. And it's like, oh, yeah, nobody but me will be happy with that.
Up there where you might as well be Canadian.
Yep. Yeah.
Nothing in Nebraska, huh?
I wouldn't move to Nebraska if you gave me the money to do it. There are fewer places in this world I hate as much as I hate fucking Nebraska.
Why?
Have you ever driven across Nebraska?
No. Closest I can do is Wyoming. I've driven across Wyoming plenty of times.
It makes Wyoming look like exciting and new.
Yeah, yeah.
Wyoming, I maintain Wyoming is pretty in the corners. Mm-hmm. All the corners of Wyoming are pretty. It's just the middle bit is yucky.
Yeah, I didn't drive through the corners of Nebraska. I drove through on I-70. You know, I mean, it was just... Or 80. I don't remember. I don't care. It was horrible. Like, to the point that I was driving at dusk and I was hallucinating scenery. Because I could see scenery out of the corner of my eye and I'd look over at it and it's just more fucking flat bullshit. Fucking Nebraska. Anyway, I digress. I've taken us off topic already.
Decades ago, I was working for a company as a trainer. And somebody from the Nebraska office came out, the Omaha office came out to
2D,
teach us
no shit.
Yeah, to teach us some kind of new thing for training. And between sessions, she was going on and on about her house, this historic home she just bought. She was so excited about it. And I'm over here thinking, you can't be making more money than me. You're probably making less than me. And you're buying a house. I said, so if you don't mind, how much did your house cost? I said, oh, it was it was quite a bit. It was $45,000. And I'm like, yeah, I would buy a trailer house around here.
Nope.
When was that?
This was 25 years ago, I think.
Holy crud.
Yeah.
Holy wow.
And I'm like, she doubled her profit probably and sold her house recently for $100,000. You know, I mean, that's how much nobody wants to live in Nebraska.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, if you're from Nebraska,
get out now.
These guys are wrong.
Get out now.
Run.
Look, man, Utah sucks, but at least it's pretty.
Yeah,
that's true.
Nebraska just sucks.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
I was like, well, at least I could head west and hit the mountains right away out of Nebraska, but. Yeah.
You got an awful lot of Colorado to get through.
Yeah.
Boring fucking Colorado.
Yeah, you got to go through the Pueblo zone.
You got to go with the half of the state where they built the airport, the one over by Kansas.
That's where my mom grew up, was in the eastern side of Colorado.
Hold on. I got to double check my maps real quick because let's see. Interstate. You guys go ahead. Let's do some show.
Yeah, let's. We've all had some adventures the last couple of weeks, but we'll talk about those in Patreon. So if you want to hear about our adventures, you got to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/dfanmedia. It's where all the good stuff is, or, you know, us giving boring travelogues. I don't know for sure.
My travelogue is not boring at all. I'll tell you about my upcoming trips in Patreon, too.
There you go. Ooh. That'll be fun. So talk about all that in Patreon this week. But meanwhile, how has the week been for you, Joss?
You know, I was on call for work, and that always makes my weeks really, really long. But I get a 3-day weekend, which is rare in my industry. So I am living the weekend up. I'm loving it.
How does someone in your industry get a 3-day weekend?
Well, because I don't have to be the admin on call. It's thankful.
Nobody's sick on holidays. Didn't you know that?
Right, weekends and
it's
holidays.
Written in the same part of the law book that made pizza a vegetable.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, I love it. That's perfect. But yeah, no, so week has just been kind of keeping on, keeping on. I'm trying. If anybody follows me on Instagram that listens, you saw I posted my clean kitchen sink the other day. It's still clean, just for the record. I need to do an update. So that's my life. That's how exciting my life is. I'm glad that my dishes are done. How about you, sir? How was your week?
Mr. Jeff?
No, you're sir. I'm admiral.
You're sir. Oh, that's right. Admiral.
I'm admiral.
Yeah.
I'm sir. It was a lot of catching up and having to find a routine where there is none. Because, you know, when you're unemployed, I had kind of a pseudo routine that kind of followed my old employment. But having taken a holiday, I come back and I'm like, yeah, there's no routine. There's nothing. There's just me waiting for some motherfucker to call me to tell me I either get an interview or get a job. You know, one or the other. So, and I have been, as of this count, I've been fished 3 times for jobs. Yeah. I've had 3 job things where they were fishing me. The last one was my favorite. They fished me with an actual job that was still posted for a company. But I could tell they were phishing me because they were like dot website or something for their email address. And then another email address was going to like msn.com. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are phishing me, but this is a real company. And usually I go to the real company to go, am I being phished? And I did that, but I also noticed the job was actually there. So I just went ahead and applied for it. I'm like, what the fuck? Let's just go for it. I thought that was hilarious. I even put in my cover letter. Funny story. I was fished by someone posting this job up, but hey, it's actually a job I want to do. So let's talk about this. Yeah. Been fished 3 times for work.
So it was I-80 that goes through Nebraska.
Yeah.
I think I took I-80 out and back from Wisconsin or from Minnesota twice.
Minnesota, yep.
And Nebraska was the worst. Iowa sucked, but at least, you know, there was more corn. And then when Jake and I drove back from Minnesota, we took I-90 through the Dakotas.
I'd say that's through South Dakota.
Yeah, went and saw, you know, the foreheads, the Mount Rushmore.
The Mount Rushmore, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smaller than you'd think. You get there and you're like, wow, it's smaller than I thought it would be. And then you're like, yeah, okay.
I love it. That's where my family's from.
We got there so early because we were trying to sleep in a car and we just couldn't do it. We got there so fucking early. The gatekeeper hadn't opened yet, so we drove around the barrier. The park rangers were just barely setting out the animals, you know, before they flipped them on. You know, and
I turned on the buffalo yet.
We're walking up and they're like, did you guys pay? And we're like, no, there wasn't anybody in the guard shack. And they're like, well, you can see the thing you're supposed to pay for. So there's no reason kicking you out because you could see it from pretty much everywhere. And we took a look and then we gave sleeping pills to the dog in Twinkies. And then we hit the road again.
Right. Hey, yeah. Fantastic.
If you're gonna get sleeping pills, give it to me in Twinkies. That's all I say. Yeah. Yep. I support that.
Yeah, that was we're trying to make the trip better for the dog, but the truth is he just wanted to be awake for it, so we just basically made him stoned.
Nice.
Yeah, he got to drive across America going like, "Whoa, man. That's the biggest ball of twine, man."
Yeah, that's so cool, man.
Dave's not here, man. Anyway. Awesome. My week was tricky. Not really my story to tell. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, it's been high drama and sadness and feeling sorry and stuff like that. So, but yeah, got back from Colorado. End of the day Monday. Mm-hmm. Back to work on Tuesday. So,
yay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for my week.
All right. Well, let's do some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
This first one makes me sad.
Yeah.
And I hope that when we have more information, it doesn't make me more sad. But documentary filmmaker Morgan Spurlock, who I met in 2008 up at Sundance, lovely, lovely fellow, has passed away at the age of 50 fucking three.
Right.
We do not have a cause of death yet.
They said cancer.
Did they say cancer?
Yeah, it says cancer in the article.
Oh.
Yeah, it did say complications, but it didn't indicate what kind of cancer or anything.
This is
notable.
A much longer article than the one I originally posted, so they have gone in and made some changes.
They came in and added to it. That's the disadvantage yet advantage of internet reporting, is you can just go in and update your article.
Yep. Anyway, for those of you that don't remember, he made a documentary called Supersize Me, where he ate nothing but McDonald's food. Wasn't it like for a month?
I think so. And every time they offered to supersize him, he had to agree to it.
He had to say yes. Anytime they were offered to, supersize somehow.
They don't do that anymore.
No, they do not.
And when you say
not
it
after that documentary,
when you say it at the drive-thru, most of them have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What size would you like? Supersize me. Excuse me? Oh, large. Large would be fine for that Diet Coke. Morgan Spurlock, dead at 53. Very sad. Dwayne Eddy, first rock and roll guitar god, dead at 86. A far more appropriate age. Grammy winning guitarist, died peacefully on Tuesday, surrounded by family. You know, I am wondering about this being surrounded by family, because it seems like a lot of families are, you know, in the room when death happens. Were they all pushing on the pillow, I ask, as they surrounded him?
That's how it went.
Too weak to fight back at the age of 86. Surrounded by family. It's time for you to go, Dwayne! I think this particular part of the gig has desensitized me to the death of celebrities. Alice Munro, Nobel Prize winning author and master of the short story, has passed away at the appropriate age of 92. Canadian Nobel Prize winning master of spare short stories that explored what she called the complexity of things, the things within things, has died at the age of 92. She died Monday night in Ontario, according to an announcement in the Canadian newspaper The Globe and Mail, confirmed by her family, who was in the room at the time. Munro had been suffering from dementia for more than a decade, so she couldn't even name the perpetrators.
Yep.
So, she was referred to by critic and novelist Cynthia Ozick as R. Chekhov. So, I've read some of Alice's books and work, and she was fucking talented. This last one is more like watching something die.
Okay.
But Diamond... The used to be, you know, only game in town for comic book distribution. Now there's Penguin, Random House, and Lunar, all with their own sets of problems, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But Diamond, instead of fixing their shit, is going to expand into e-commerce and crowdfunding.
It's with time crowdfunding? To diversify.
Crowdfunding. Yeah. So you see, my guess is you see some of these, like I know fucking Dark Horse does it, and IDW does it, and some of the other, you know, top of the indie heap guys go in there and raise funds, crowdfund for new books and stuff like that, which infuriates me because I think it is against the spirit of GoFundMe for
it
corporations.
It sucks the oxygen out of the room for sure.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody like that comes in, because they come in with a major name. It'd be one thing if somebody was creating a book. I mean, I look at Brandon Sanderson as a good example. He wanted to self-publish, basically. And of course he can, because he's Brandon fucking Sanderson. It wouldn't hurt him one bit to self-publish. But he went in and created did a Kickstarter. He just blew everybody out of the water that month. But he made millions and then decided, I'm going to contribute to active Kickstarters at the same time, which was nice. I wasn't an active Kickstarter at the time. But with this one, it sounds like there are a couple of groups that do online publishing only, or you know, Kickstarter publishing only, like Laguna and a couple of other ones. And I bet that's kind of what they're hoping to do, is just become a distributor of, you know, like I could get a book published through Diamond, which is what I really want. But I want that where it doesn't get published through Diamond. It just is distributed by Diamond to all the comic book shops. That's what I want. I want to be with a publisher who uses Diamond, or I will take, you know, at this point, any of them. Lunar, whatever the other one is.
Penguin Random House. They're easy to forget about. They're just a tiny little boutique place. Penguin Random House.
Random House. Boy, how would that be? I was published through Random House. What? Yeah. Anyway.
That's it for the news.
All right. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're heading to Tinseltown.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger.
I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Tell me. There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
So, what have you guys been watching on the Out of Tinseltown this week? Joss?
So, I finally finished watching Fallout. Holy crap! That was so good. So much fun. It's the creative team that did Westworld a few years back, Lisa Joy and Nolan, and they were like, this was spot on. Well, I'm not a video game player, but from what I know of the Fallout world and for the show, for somebody who only knows peripherally of the Fallout world, the show was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was just so well done. So fun.
As someone who has spent 2,000 plus hours in the Fallout world.
Yeah.
Over the last 20 years. They fucking nailed it. It was grand. I had so much fun. I've already watched it twice.
Yes. I'm going to go back and start a rewatch of it really soon. I'm really excited for season 2. I did watch, I know, and I think you guys watched it too, Doctor Who. I got the first 2 episodes watched. And then I'll be honest, I kind of forgot it existed until just barely. And I went, oh, yeah, there's probably another episode I should watch.
Yeah, there's 3 more.
Three more. Great. I'm way far behind on that then. We'll get into it later.
Or two more. It depends on...
Right.
It depends on whether you're counting the Christmas episode.
Christmas special.
I am, because they're including it as part of the season. So I'm including
They're calling that episode one, because I just finished episode five, but I consider it more like episode four. So, yeah.
I was going to say, okay, well, then I've watched three, because I watched the Christmas episode at Christmas time, like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And then you guys, did you guys know that Outer Range is back on Amazon?
Yep. Yep. I saw,
oh my gosh.
I saw Mr. Brolin staring at me with his squinty little goatee.
Ooh. Yes. I'm loving that show. It is. So it's gotten really soap opera-y, but also it's still very confusing and timeliney and wibbly wobbly with time and stuff, which is fun. And then the last thing that I have to mention that I watched, you guys, I watched Madam Web. Either of you watch it?
Yep,
I have seen it.
Yep. It was not. It was better than The Flash for sure. I'll even rank it above Bats v Supes.
Well, yeah.
I just Sony. I don't know. This expanded Superman universe or Spider-Man universe is not everything I want in the world, I guess.
Still writing movies like it's the early 90s, for Christ's sake. That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
They're just not matching the energy or the swagger even that the MCU has.
Right.
That ending shot, that final shot is just the cheesiest goddamn thing.
Oh yeah.
And yet that's right out of the 90s. That's the ending shot of Daredevil. That's the ending shot of Ghost Rider. That's the ending shot of a couple of the other ones they made. And it was like, yeah, okay, I get it. And that's cheesy as fuck. It's also way in the future, apparently, according to you guys. So I don't know how that works.
I do feel bad. It is a nice spider team I would have liked to have seen more of.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I understand we got to set up the universe, but man.
Well, that's my problem is we've already set up the universe. We've set it up like multiple times.
It's like they're hiring screenwriters off Dolph Lundgren's couch.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, apart from that, I enjoyed the hell out of the movie. And I enjoyed the idea of the characters. I enjoyed the whole concept of the movie.
I enjoyed Sydney Sweeney in a super suit.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I
enjoyed all of it. But that closing shot almost was a deal killer for me. It was just a moment of going, oh, really? Well, that was dumb. Okay.
Right. So.
I think if I'd paid money to see it in a movie theater, I would have been outraged by that final shot. I want my money back.
I was going to say, the fact that I was able to watch it at home and like pause it to go get my snacks when I needed probably boosted it a little bit as far as the enjoyment level went. Mm-hmm. So what about you guys, though? What'd you watch this week, Jeff?
Watched every episode of After Midnight. God damn, I love that show.
What the hell?
They're playing. They're goofing off. They're trying to find a good mix.
Monday, I was like, what are you doing? And then Tuesday, they fixed it. And then Wednesday and Thursday, they fixed it. I was like, okay, I'm accepting this. I feel like the hashtag wars is their boner of the week that we have here on X96, where they can't get rid of it. They can never stop doing it because it's the most popular segment they have on their show, on their morning show. And this one is like that. And they just can't find a place to put it. I liked it where they put it a few weeks ago, right at the end of the talk show portion. That was fine. But to throw it in now as the elimination challenge, I was like, well, it is the one that either you score a lot of points or you don't. So that's fair. But the little sound effect and everything, I'm like, get rid of it. I know that was a thing on the original At Midnight, but just get rid of it. Just go ahead and do hashtag wars. Though it's weird to me, because with X Twitter falling into whatever it's falling into, what the hell? Nobody does hashtags anymore, right?
No, yeah. They do. I regret to inform you that hashtags are alive and well.
Still running, huh?
Still running. Facebook, Instagram, Threads.
Threads.
You name
it. I did a hashtag on Threads. I did a hashtag war thing on Threads. Didn't win, but I did it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Or win. I didn't get mentioned on the show, I should say, but I did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. And I was like, where am I going to do a hashtag thing? I guess I'll do it on Threads. That's the most Twitter-like thing I've got on this phone.
Yeah. Watched Discovery. Second week in a row, I left angry.
Oh, no.
I believe the words that came out of my mouth is, and seconds before they did it, if this is a fucking cliffhanger, I'm going to burn this place to the ground. And then the credits start rolling, and I'm like, God damn it. Oh, fuck. Great cliffhanger. Oh, my God. Like,
fucking
sometimes there's a cliffhanger, and you're like, yeah, why? Why'd you do that? And this time it was just like, oh, you assholes. So I know that I will enjoy that transition in the rewatch off season.
So this whole season, the buildup of the bad guys, Maul and Locke, you know, Maul has got this, the actress playing Maul has got this screen presence that I was like just captivated by her. But I kept thinking, I hope they're not one note. I hope they're not just, arr, we're pirates, and that's the end of it. And they have developed such an interesting storyline for them. I actually want them to win in some way, you know? I mean, Maul's already taken away everything that was already harming them, except that she's now got to, you know, do what she's got to do here. And I hope it works. I hope it works out for him. That's my thing. But at the same time, I also realized in watching her in this last episode, she is the exact opposite of Michael Burnham. Because Burnham is all about duty and serving the ship, and she let her relationship fall apart. She's done all that stuff. Meanwhile, Maul is all about her relationship. She's going to keep that together. Fuck everyone and everything else. She doesn't care. It's her and Locke, ride and die right off the cliff as far as she's concerned. And yet at the same time, she puts all these pieces together the same way Michael does. She's brilliant, and she just puts them all together. And I was like, this is the polar opposite of Michael Burnham, and I love it. This is working so well in this show.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, sorry, please continue.
Watched Welcome to Wrexham.
Yes.
Also ended on a cliffhanger, or just fast. It just felt fast.
It was fast. It was fast. I was like, wait. We're done? Okay.
Yep, and then caught up on the so far dropped Doctor Who's as of last night.
Nice.
So that's what I watched. What about you?
Same stuff all around. After Midnight, Star Trek, Doctor Who, Wrexham. Doctor Who, watched the first two episodes in Britain on iPlayer because they run on Saturday nights and we always had something on Saturday nights. So that wasn't going to happen. So we watched them on iPlayer. And just like here, in Britain, they dropped the first two episodes on that Saturday night. Yeah. I watched the other two yesterday to catch up. And, you haven't gotten to this one yet, Joss, but I'll tell you, I'll just say this. Dear whoever the fuck is working on Doctor Who, if you're going to do a companion-centric episode, that is how you do it.
Ooh, I'm excited now.
It was good.
Period.
It was very good.
That is how you do it. That worked so well. I saw where it was going after a certain point, and I loved it. And I fucking was eating it up, and I'm like, okay, so this is how, okay. And I, in my head, I'm like, okay, this is how this is going to work, and that's how it's going to fix it. And yeah, okay, I'm right. Here we are. We're back to where we want to be. And it was so perfect because it, you know, I flash back to that one episode where, Clara was supposed to be kind of in charge, but the doctor was stuck in the tiny TARDIS, you know, like the TARDIS trunk on the outside. So all you could see was Capaldi's face sticking kind of out of the, you know, kind of in the door of the TARDIS. And that was it. And, it didn't work because he was always there in her ear giving advice. And this liked this one.
This one reminded me, it had the good feel of Blink.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Where, yeah, the doctor's around and is a presence, but this has nothing to do with him right now. So
yeah,
I think you're right. As far as it went well for a companion episode, and they normally don't.
Normally you're either missing the doctor or the doctor is popping up to help. And this one, it was just so perfect. Oh my God. Just so perfect. I don't want to spoil anything. It's just so perfect. I was like, this is how you do it. If you're going to focus on the companion, that was the best way to do it. Well done. Well done, Russell T. Davies, who wrote the episode.
So, nice. Yeah,
very well done. Yeah. And aside from that, all the shows I like to watch fall on the weekends. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I even have one that drops on Sunday. So I was gone for 2 weekends, and I'm now on my third weekend. I'm like, I got a lot to catch up on still. I haven't even caught up on, like, Tracker, which is a show I love. I haven't caught up on that one yet. And Equalizer, I haven't caught up on that one yet. So, because everything else was ending up, you know, was finishing up. And I got to watch these. I got to watch this. Oh, I watched X-Men 97, which I think that was episode 10. So I think it's over. I want to say it was over, and it ended on one of those, where are the X-Men? And then we find out where they are, but there's still a couple of them missing. And, we get the moment where of Magneto versus Wolverine, and Magneto does the thing to Wolverine that I've been waiting for him to do for a long time, ever since they did it in the comics. So that was pretty cool. What didn't come off as dramatic as it did in the books. And again, I look back on the episode where they destroyed Genosha and the emotional impact that one had, and I'm like, you could have done something with that. But instead, they just sort of did a still image that looked like the panel of the comic, and that was it. So it was dumb. I'm like, okay, you could do better. I mean, I know I'm watching the show I fucking hated in the 90s because it was so badly done, you know, in my opinion. Even though I do admit it was a great gateway for so many millennials to join, to get into comic books. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, it was so bad. And I watch this and I'm like, oh, you could do better there. Oh, you could do better there. And that's kind of how I feel about it. But otherwise, it's been fucking top notch. A lot better than the 93 series. Let's do some Tinseltown news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Netflix has pulled the plug on the 2025 release of Stranger Things Season 5.
Mm. Lame.
Still has a few possible drop dates. And it looks like it's going to drop in 2026.
Lame.
Okay.
I just finished watching Season 4. Thinking I was getting ready for Season 5. Turns out, no, not so much. Not so much.
Turns out you can do a whole nother rewatch of the whole series.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, that bums me out, but we'll see how it goes. My guess is that they looked at their 2025 offerings and were like, you know what, we're pretty solid. Let's move Stranger Things to 2026 to shore up that schedule. Speaking of stunt casting,
I also think you've got 4 lead actors who probably are asking for a lot more money now.
True.
You know, and because they've all had the taste of it. Finn Wolfhard got the Ghostbusters money, even though his character is completely inconsequential in the movies, in my opinion. You've got Millie just making hand over fist with her stuff, and then David, what's his name?
Harbour.
David Harbour. And it was a big comeback for
Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder. Big comeback for Winona Ryder, and thank you. Yes, you can grin all you want. I will always forget celebrity names. Thank you. So, it's a big comeback for Winona Ryder, and you know she's asking for more money because she's making money again. So, yeah.
Well, she's got fucking Beetlejuice 2 coming out.
Beetlejuice 2, yeah.
Yeah, she has.
Plus, it's just the fact that she has made such a comeback that, yeah, she know her agents are like, ask for more money. So, yeah. That's the part that wouldn't surprise the business side of it. That's the part that wouldn't surprise me, is they're like, and they're asking for more money, and we just don't have it because we're making all these shows. We're throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what will stick every day. And we know Stranger Things is a cash cow, but is it going to be that much of a cash cow if Finn Wolfhard wants, you know, $10 million to do it.
Okay. So Nicolas Cage to star in Amazon's Spider-Man Noir live action series. I don't know how I feel about this, but here we are.
I mean,
he's an Oscar winning actor, for fuck's sake. And it's hard to remember that because of how much garbage he's done over the years.
I know.
He just does everything. I swear to God, he'll do anything anybody throws at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's the don't say no policy that certain actors have had. That's worked great for some, not for Nick Cage.
Well, I mean, his don't say no has got more to do with the fact that he owes the American government tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, because of skipped taxes. So mm-hmm. I know that's one of the reasons he's worked so much. But yeah, so Spider-Man Noir. The movie's called Noir. Yeah. It'll first debut on MGM Plus, followed by a global release on Prime Video to be determined.
So basically a straight to video kind of thing.
Yep.
Straight to streaming.
Next year. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus revealed the final title for the WandaVision spinoff with Agatha. Marvel Studios shared the teaser video showcasing some of the different reported titles that have been given the show throughout its development. This is accompanied by the famous Agatha All Along song from WandaVision, with a series of titles in the video ending with Agatha All Along.
There you go.
Yep.
I love it.
It'll be out September 18th of this year.
So the bigger deal is we get a release date. That was the one I was like,
right. Oh,
great.
Yep. The Munsters is getting rebooted again. Of all of the articles we have to talk about today, this is the one I give a shit about the least. But
I found this one fascinating, and I'll tell you why after you give the basics.
Well, the new television series based on the Munsters is in the works. It'll breathe new life into the franchise after it took a detour in 2022 with Rob Zombie's movie that I have not seen.
Same.
I have.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Anyway, UCP is developing the new series called 1313, described as a horror series playing on the Universal Monsterverse and a reimagining of The Munsters. The title is in reference to the 1313 Mockingbird Lane in Mockingbird Heights, the address where the Munster family resides in previous versions of the story. So, Lindsay Anderson, Beer. From Pet Sematary, Bloodlines is on board as the showrunner for 1313. She's developing the series with James Wan and Isabel Bizou for UCP.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you were saying?
So, back in, when did they do this? Trying to find the date. 2012. They made a TV pilot called Mockingbird Lane. It starred Jerry O'Connell as Herman Munster. Portia de Rossi is Lily Munster.
Holy shit.
Eddie Izzard as Grandpa.
Shut up.
They all looked relatively, I'll say that, relatively normal. The point is they were hidden monsters and they were actual monsters. It had some comedy, but it wasn't slapstick like the Fred Gwynn series. From the 60s, and it was dark, so fucking dark, and it was called Mockingbird Lane. This 1313 sounds like what they tried to do back in 2012, and they're going to do it, and they're going to try to do it again. You can find this pilot, it's still out there to watch. It is really, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Jerry O'Connell was killing it as Herman Munster. This basic Frankenstein monster hiding in plain sight. And fucking, I'm sorry, but Eddie Izzard as the vampire who's running everything is perfectly terrifying and hilarious at the same time. So yeah, it was genius, and I wish they could have done something with it. But this new one looks really good. You know, 1313, if they can take off with what they did for Mockingbird Lane, I'm down for it. I'm down for it. Maybe do a hybrid between the two, you know. Because the original concept was they're actual movie monsters living in plain sight, and everybody gets freaked out when Herman's walking down the street like the Frankenstein monster, right? That was the whole point. And God, that was the overly done point for the last movie. This one, if they can... But the other one, they were like, no, they're actual monsters. They will murder you in your sleep. They will murder you when you're awake. They will murder you if you come to your house, if you come to their house. But at the same time, they're just totally normal looking people.
Huh.
It was such a clever idea, Mockingbird Lane. And I'm like, do something like that for 1313 and make it work this time. Yeah. I think the problem was is they tried to run it on network. You know. Back when network was a thing, 10 years ago.
Per Variety, I'm just assuming I can go. Per Variety, yeah. Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, the new Millie Alcock Supergirl, mm-hmm. set to debut in movie theaters June 26, 2026. June 26, 2026. I am here for it. I like that kid in House of the Dragon. I think I'm going to like her as Supergirl. I think she's a very talented young actress. And I liked the Woman of Tomorrow story a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this one. I wish it was coming sooner. But it's not.
It's not.
No. The next Knives Out movie called Wake Up Dead Man will be premiering next year. Benoit Blanc is tackling another mystery very soon. Rian Johnson has teased the next outing of the detective, which will be, as I said earlier, because we're getting paid by the word, Wake Up Dead Man, with a question mark of 2025. We don't know when in 25. We just know that it will be. Johnson's coming back to write and direct. Daniel Craig will, of course, be back as the detective. And that is all the information we have so far. Okay. The X-Men movie finally moved forward at Marvel Studios with Hunger Games writer. It's looking like the X-Men are getting much closer to getting reborn in the MCU. While it's been known for years that an X-Men project set in the MCU has been planned, the project has reportedly taken a giant step forward. Marvel Studios is now moving forward with the X-Men movie. Hunger Games, The Ballad of the Songbird, and Snakes. Writer Michael Leslie. Long, two S's in the middle there. Leslie. reported in negotiations at this time to write the screenplay. So that's pretty cool. It'll be nice to have the MCU tackle the mutants so we can actually have a good mutant movie again.
Yay!
And then in the most important news of the week, entertainment or otherwise...
That's right.
Star Trek Starfleet Academy series casts Holly fucking Hunter as the as an admiral.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little info in here other than Starfleet Academy will begin shooting in Toronto later in the summer, featuring the largest continuous set ever constructed for a Star Trek series. A central academic atrium that will span two stories and include an amphitheater, classrooms, mess hall, and a walkway lined with trees. It's going to be focused on higher education. There will be some romance, because of course. My biggest thing with it is it's like, yes, I will watch it. I will probably enjoy it. I just hope it's not fucking Riverdale in space. That's all I want. And if Holly Hunter isn't in every episode, that's a crime and should be punished in The Hague.
I just feel like it's going to be a little bit of Riverdale in space, but at the same time with Star Trek. And phasers and transporters and stuff like that. And I believe it takes place in the 31st century, which is where the recent one is taking place, or 32nd century. And I like how quick the transporters are. I like how cool the programmable matter is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Holly cool Hunter stuff. You remember there was an episode of, it was season one of Star Trek with the butt bugs. who were Picard was given the was going to be given a posting at Starfleet Academy, at, you know, only as a captain. And I think that's Holly Hunter. She's getting the honor of being the commandant, you know, at Starfleet Academy, only coming in as a captain. So that'll be fun. I only say a captain because they keep superimposing her head on Michael Burnham's uniform, you know, yeah. In different memes I see. So, yeah, yep. It's she's definitely going to be a captain. But yeah, no, I'm down for it. I'm here for it. I want to see it. I like that it is the largest continuous set. We haven't had that since Deep Space Nine, where the promenade was actually a one big continuous set that they could shoot on, and you actually could walk down a hallway. The infirmary was on one side, Quark's on the other, you know, Odo's office, all that was there, literally on set at Paramount, and they could just move a camera wherever they needed to. And it was such a brilliant, brilliant little move on their part to make it work that way. But yeah, I'm
and this one
I like
will it. Be bigger.
This one. This one's going to be even bigger than Deep Space Nine, so I hope it's a better show. Yeah, let's do it.
That's it for the news.
All right, another break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, let's dive into some comic book news.
We can do that.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
New Marvel series will reveal Moon Knights from throughout history. Phases of the Moon Knight will explore the Fists of Khonshu throughout Marvel history. Moon Knight's one of the more complicated heroes in the MC or the MU. Most of the heroes but also he's one of the heroes with a loyal fan base. Mark Spector is the current Moon Knight, but his death has left a void that the others have tried to fill with varying success. However, Mark Spector is not the first Fist of Khonshu, as readers will soon get to meet several Moon Knights from the past in a new spinoff series from an all-star list of creators.
Very similar to what they did with Immortal Iron Fist about a decade ago.
Yeah. So Benjamin Percy, Rod Rice, Erica Schultz, and Manuel Garcia will be doing Phases of the Moon Knight. I like the idea of that.
I like the name. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we got? Though he is among the most recent, Mark Spector is far from the first Fist of Khonshu. As fans have witnessed in the pages of Jed McKay's hit run, Mark and Hunter's Moon are only the latest in a long line of diverse and fascinating Khonshu champions. The Spectress of their predecessors have been called upon to aid in the most desperate battles, and now it's time to learn their stories. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Sounds fun. I like it. The next Marvel hero to fight Predator will be Black Panther.
Ooh.
We just finished up with Wolverine versus a Predator, and now it's time for someone else. So this is the Predator goes to Wakanda.
I kind of feel sorry for Predator.
I do too.
Yeah.
This is not a hard one.
Yeah, this is not, like not going to be a
Predator versus, you know, Daredevil.
Hey now.
No, I'm just saying he's got no money, no tech. He's just a guy with a really cool jump rope, you know, and sonic hearing, whereas fucking, you know, Black Panther's got he's got phasers and shit.
Yeah,
you know. It is. Okay. It's gonna be a one episode one off, and the end of the last page will be basically the same as the turbaned swordman from Indiana Jones. Just turn around, blast him with a big, you know, a vibranium bazooka.
There.
Yep.
It's gonna be one of those "What the hell are you?" moments at the end. Yeah.
Yep. Well, you could have been a problem had we not been Wakanda. So basically, I'll lay it out like this. He's going to lose all his tech.
You want an easier fight, pick on Namor.
Yeah, he's going to lose all his tech, and he's going to have to fight him hand by hand for probably yep. 4 to 6 issues.
Yep.
Batman.
That's the only way to make it work. It's yeah. the only way to make it work. Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
Batman, The Last Halloween. To conclude the long Halloween trilogy, I didn't know it was a trilogy. I even have a hard time remembering to tell people that Dark Victory is the follow-up to Long Halloween. But yeah. Yeah, DC announced Batman The Long Halloween, The Last Halloween, at the MCM London convention last week. 10-issue series will again be written by Jeff Loeb. Unfortunately, due to Tim Sale's death in 2022, the series won't feature new work from him beyond the cover art to issue one. Mm-hmm. Instead, The Last Halloween will be illustrated by a rotating team of artists working in tribute to Sale. Those artists include Eduardo Rizzo, Klaus Janssen, Mark Chiarello. Yeah, that's it. And Mark Chiarello.
That's it. Yeah, Mark
Chiarello. So you're getting guys from Batman Black and White, The Dark Knight Returns, and Batman Night of Vengeance. All good books, all beautiful books. Flashpoint, mm-hmm. Batman, Night of Vengeance, which was good. So that's coming, and that is it for the news.
Well, let's talk about what we've read these last week or so. Jeff?
Oh, nothing. Not a damn thing. Like I said, it's somebody else's story, but boy, have other things been happening. Not to mention, I may have re-addicted myself to Fallout 4 on accident. And so, basically, I knee-jerk if I'm in between things. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go to bed in about an hour. You know, mm-hmm. So instead of starting a project, I'm going to go into the wastelands and shoot the shit out of people. You know, and then 3 hours passes and I finally go to bed.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's dangerous, friend.
Yep. So, anyway, what about you, Jocelyn?
I tried to catch up or keep up on a few things. So I read Blue Book 1947, number 3. If you want to read about what happened in 1947 and aliens, you should be reading this book. It's really being done well. I'm enjoying it. I got to finish Kill Your Darlings, and we can talk about that more in Patreon a little bit. I caught up current on Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, and that has ramped up and taken a little bit of a turn I was not expecting. So that's been a really good one as well, with Mateo and Mazzy remembering their past and trying to figure out their future. And then, of course, you guys, I didn't want you to worry. I'm caught up on Daredevil. So I read issues 8 and 9. 8, of course, being the big 60th anniversary edition. The storyline, we're still dealing with the 7 deadly sins. It's been fantastic. An old enemy is back, and an old enemy is coming back to Hell's Kitchen as well. So I don't like to be spoilery, but if you're reading Daredevil, you won't be surprised with who we see. And it was really fun to see that happen. Mm-hmm. That was very vague. There you have it.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you. How about you?
Let's see. I picked this one up, and damn it, I picked it up, and I have to read them all. White Boat by Scott Snyder and Francisco Francavilla. This is from Distillery. What a crazy story. This guy, he basically writes about boats for some of the, you know, out in the Florida Keys, some little newspaper or magazine that talks about boats. And there's this white boat, and he wants to write about it. It's this mythical ship that shows up every now and then, anchored way out beyond all the other yachts and everything. He gets an invite to go out, and it turns out, yeah, it's a very dark place to go, that white boat. It seems to be, well, I got thinking about the Flying Dutchman in the
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean movies, yeah. Yeah, that's what I started thinking about. And I was like, oh, well, that's a little crazy. From DC, The Boy Wonder by Junie Ba. This is holding up. This is really cool. Kind of a fairy tale being told about Damian Wayne and, you know, the Bat family and everything. Really smartly done. Speaking of Nightwing, Tom Taylor, this is 114, the Fallen Grayson series, Fallen Grayson story arc. It's one of five. This will end Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo's run on Nightwing. So, good time to pick it up. Yeah. Basically, Heartless is going to... I feel like they're doing to Nightwing what they've done to... they're doing to Nightwing what they've done to Daredevil all these years. The writing team is ending, and they're just going to take Nightwing down to something where somebody's got to figure their way out of it. The next writing team's got to figure their way out of it. Yeah.
Right? So, like some kind of ending that's that should be an ending, but nope, we're going to find a way.
Because they did that with the one writing team left, and meanwhile, Dick Grayson's identity had been revealed to the world. And so they had to make him Dick Grayson super spy for a while. And when that writing team quit, it was basically they undid everything so he could just go back to zero, but he had nothing when he finished. And then they do the next one, which was him getting hit. The writing team ended with him getting shot in the head and losing his memory. So the new team had to do the Rick Grayson storyline and all that stuff.
Don't call me Dick.
Don't call me Dick. Yeah. And now we've got this one with Taylor and Redondo leaving. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see what the next writing team's like. Because for me, I love Nightwing, but it's hit or miss for me. The Tom Taylor one has just been so on, so perfect.
Right.
And then I picked up Stephanie Phillips, Gwen Stacy, or Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider, number one. Brand new series. Basically, Spider-Gwen, the Ghost Spider, has been dropped into Earth 616 permanently. She's on the run, and she's hiding in Earth 616. She's got somebody helping her from the Bureau by the name of Obi. Yeah, it's Ouroboros. However, unlike other times when they've done this, the artist isn't talented enough to kind of make it look like the actor who played Ouroboros. So it's just a guy with dark hair. You know, basically. Didn't even really give him his haircut. Just kind of gave him dark hair and a suit. Sort of a suit. But yeah, he's trying to help her. And at the same time, she's supposed to stay hidden. But of course, she's a superhero. How's she going to stay hidden when there's crime to be fought? When there's bad guys to be fought? And she's got this weird symbiote suit from her world that isn't quite a symbiote. It's more like a techno symbiote. But it's constantly itching at her to get out and have action. It's like having a Jack Russell Terrier. It just needs to get out. It needs to go do something, goddammit. So yeah, it's that kind of thing that she's got to deal with. And meanwhile, Obi's like, well, we'll fix it or whatever. And I'm like, dude, just let her be a superhero. Figure it out. But that was what I read this week.
Nice.
Today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, what are you looking forward to this week, Jess?
We're going to start with mainstream because you and I picked the same thing from DC, which is DC Pride 2024 number one. If I'm being honest, I picked this because I couldn't find anything else mainstream that appealed to me more.
Fair.
These are, I mean, I appreciate the effort, but also I just would like to see just more queer stories throughout the year in my comic books, because queer people right. exist all the time. But yep. that being said, if we don't support it, we won't get it. So we'll take what we can get, right? So mm-hmm. I mean, that really sold it for everybody, I'm sure.
Yep.
Go pick up DC Pride 2024. How about you, Jeff?
I'll help out when it's my turn.
Okay, good.
We're doing mainstream?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to take a look at Helverine.
Yeah?
I'm probably going to hate it, but I'm definitely going to take a look at Helverine number one. And then the continuing story of Batman Gargoyle of Gotham. The third one drops this next week, and I am looking forward to that one.
Awesome.
So that'll be pretty nice. Cool. What are you, sir?
For me, for Marvel, I'm looking at Wolverine number 50. This is the end of not only the Sabretooth War, but it's the 50th issue of the 50th anniversary of Wolverine. So it's a big deal here. Wolverine's birthday, traditionally, whenever they allow Wolverine to have a birthday in the comics, it usually deals with Sabretooth fucking with him. This one's been no different. We've actually had this Sabretooth War going on for several issues. I mean, 10 or more issues. And this one is the final showdown. Creed versus Logan. All of it on the line. Plus, we're going to get some short stories celebrating the 50th issue of this run and 50 years of Wolverine, which includes Larry Hama writing a story. And then a final send-off from the current writer, Ben Percy, and Javi Fernandez, and some special surprises. So this is basically the end of Ben Percy's run on Wolverine. And according to solicitations, we're not going to have a Wolverine comic for a while. Well, they while they re-gear all this stuff. There's going to be some little shorts, some one-offs as they go, you know, little or mini-series as they go. But an actual ongoing Wolverine saga isn't supposed to start until September.
Wow.
So this is ending it. They, in the last issue, or two issues ago, he got depowered. He was not afraid of shaving. He went to this secret place he had one of his secret stashes, and he put on basically full adamantium armor, so he could take out Sabretooth once and for all. So, complete with his Muramasa blade, which will kill anyone with a healing factor. And it's only going to remain to be seen if he gets his healing factor back and all of his, you know, his mutant abilities back. But in the meantime, he's like, I got fucking adamantium armor. I'm going to go kill this guy. Which is so much better than the last time they took away Wolverine's powers. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
Yeah, so Wolverine number 50 coming out this week. And then DC Pride number 1 for 2024 coming out as well, coming out a week before June, which is... Hello, thank you for that.
I mean, like 3 days before June.
Still. the fact is that they made an effort to get it out before...
It is on June. Yes. It is also on time for Pride Month.
Historically, Marvels usually come out at the end of June. They have been so bad, they're not even trying this year. They're going to do a wedding special between Mystique and Destiny in the pages of X-Men in continuity, which is really just a flashback to Mystique and Destiny's wedding from whenever they did it originally. And then we have this, and then they're not going to do anything else. But DC, their Pride specials have always been the best. Just well-written, good stories.
It's true. They are.
You get Dreamer, most likely written by the actress who played her on Supergirl. You get Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy and Janet from HR go spore hunting on Port World. I love that. John Kent gets the boys together for a night out in A-Town, but things go sideways when the Ray vanishes into thin air. Steel. This is Natasha Irons, Steel. And we've got the whole, her story there. Aquaman, Jackson Aquaman, we know him as, oh, I can't remember his name on the Young Justice. He had a different name than Jackson, but yeah. So all that, all these guys are going to be in there, anthology, and also look out for, it's coming, the whole, we're paying tribute to Rachel Pollack and what she accomplished with writing Doom Patrol.
Nice. See, you sold it way better than I did. Yep.
So please pick up DC Pride. They're always worth reading. They're always worth reading. And we do get gay stories throughout the year with DC because John Kent Superman all the whole time. So, yeah. Indie picks for me this week. Death Ratioed from AWA. And this is when Arnold wakes up from a coma 20 years in the future, he discovers that society is now ruled by social media. So did he go in the coma back in 2000? enough likes and upvotes can unlock fame and fortune, but watch your step, enough thumbs down, clicks, and the collar around your neck explodes.
Ah! I'd be
and
so
you're
dead.
Done. Now confused and running on his last like, Arnold must navigate a world in which the slightest online misstep can have fatal consequences. So again, it's 2024. That's what I think he's woken up in. We may not have callers to blow up when you get too many dislikes, but my hell, we can destroy a career with one art, with one story. Destroy a person's life with one story. And then from Drawn and Quarterly, this one fascinated me. Aminder Dhaliwal writing and drawing this Witch's Guide to Burning. A witch's work is never done when she works for the people, with the success of her town relying on her magic demands are high. But what happens when a witch can't keep up with the magical request? She is burnt, of course, in a cruel ritual that extinguishes her magic and erases all of her memories, making her just like everybody else. But when a burning ceremony is interrupted by rain in Chamomile Valley, a witch is left writhing at the stake. It is up to a witch doctor and her toad friend to save the singed witch and nurse her back to health. Can they help her before her magic is lost forever? It's a graphic novel. It looks interesting. I'm on board for it. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie picks?
Indie picks, indie picks, indie picks. Star Trek Celebrations.
Yes.
From IDW. Yet another Pride mag for June. Mm-hmm. This one coming out May 29th.
Yes.
So definitely looking forward to that. But yeah, it's you got writers coming: Steve Orlando, Madeline Visaggio, Vita Alea, and Hannah Rose May. So that's nice. Pretty cool stuff. And then from Oni Press, The Man from Maybe. I'm too deep. I'm too deep into Fallout stuff right now. So this is amidst the irradiated plains walks a legend who is more than a man. He's the man from Maybe.
Ooh.
So looking forward to that one.
There you go.
Yeah. What about you?
We talked about this as a pick of the future back a while back from Image Comics. We have Grommets number one. This is from Rick Remender and Brian Posen. It's a mini series about two best friend outcasts navigating the Sacramento suburbs of 1984, where they find a home in skateboard culture and punk rock. It's an authentic look at 80s skate culture and a heartfelt coming-of-age story.
It's Gleaming the Cube, the comic book.
It is. It is. Won't that be fun? And then from Boom Studios, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 15. Jason Aaron is the writer on this one. This book has been amazing. So with the apocalypse-hungry Ravagers... coming down on Maceo and Mezzi, are they going to succeed? And what will remain of them after losing so many loved ones? So we're going to find out what happens at the end of the world in this issue. There you have it.
Awesome. Well, let's hop in the TARDIS and head to July for our final July picks of the... Just a quick reminder, get those orders in now for these July books that we've talked about. I know we've had a couple of weeks off, but still, we've covered at least two July books already for, well, six July books from each of us, and these are our last ones. So get them in now to your local comic book shop so you make sure you get it when it comes in. Get it in your hold now. Jeff will tell you, get it in your hold now. Don't make him have to reorder.
Sooner rather than later. August isn't available to order yet. We'll be probably 2 weeks before we are. But yeah, your July orders are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
All right, Joss, what's your July pick?
Sweet. With that, if I haven't already put this on my hold, I'll be sending an email to Braxton right after the show ends. Coming out from Marvel is Daredevil, Woman Without Fear, number 1 of 4. Why they won't give Elektra just an ongoing title kind of blows my mind, because they keep giving me 1 of 4. Elektra's going to be Daredevil again. Well, she's still Daredevil in the ongoing title, but we're going to spin her off again for a couple of issues. I just love it. So I'm going to get it. How about you, Jeff?
That's a really good question. I'm going to go with a book called Heretic. Coming out from... I'm scrolling. Coming out from Image. Right at the end there. Sherlock Holmes meets Name of the Rose. You had me there.
Okay, I'm in.
Yep. In an original graphic novel by artist extraordinaire and former comics laureate Charlie Adlard from The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yep, award-winning crime novelist Robbie Morrison.
Mm.
So this is good. This is going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's Heretic. It's coming out in hardcover. It's going to run $25. Yeah, and your due date on that initial order is the 30th of May. So let's get in
all
there.
All right.
Let's get in there, folks. Get in there. Yeah. What about you, sir?
I picked this from is also from Image Comics. This is Saga number 67. The story is continuing. This is the 12th season of Saga. 12-year-old Hazel embarks on the most important adventure of her young life. And we get that starting in July. Saga is back in July. That's what's important here. Saga's back in July. Did I mention Saga's back in July and I'm very excited for it? There you go. Love Saga. All right. I think that's it for us kids. Anything else?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I do. We're coming down to the wind down of the big fundraiser. I'm running out of ideas. I got a couple things left to try over the next week or so, and then we'll just let it be passive and let people give when they want. With that said, you just go over to thecomicbookpodcast.com. You click on there. We did relatively well. And out of that, with the giveaways that we're doing, for people that donate, you know what? We actually got one where we're starting a show, and I'm really excited about it.
Awesome.
So yeah, we're going to get some growth out of this. You know, we still didn't hit that target number we needed to get into Office Space, which is really, really where I'm struggling. So if you want to help us out with that, thecomicbookpodcast.com. Or if you're some sort of commercial real estate person who knows of a pretty cheap place we can get into, please reach out. I'd appreciate it. You know, we're always looking for something. What about you? Anything for you?
As always, I invite you to join us, join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. Every week that we record, we add extra content on at the end. And this extra content lets you... gives you a little bonus, gives you a little something that only you and a handful of people, our squad, gets to hear. So join our squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. This week, we've all been traveling. We're going to talk about that. Plus, Joss has got some follow-up for her review.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And we'll dive into that. So join us this week on patreon.com/defendmedia. In the meantime, I'll say, as I always do, until Obi's just shaking his head at Spider-Gwen, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.